Luke started chapter 9 with waves of joys. First, we hear about Jesus sending out the 12, doing a wonderful thing, healing, teaching, gaining a lot of power and authority. And the second event coming in the same chapter, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. Everything starts as complicated. What do we do? And the end of the story is a magnificent appearance of God's glory. And even wait, it gets even better. Peter declaring that Jesus is the Messiah in the same chapter. Too many good things. But here, in the middle of all this joy, we hear Jesus predicting his own death. And the waves of joys keep going with the talking about the transfiguration, and then Jesus healed the demons possessed boy. And again, Jesus predicting his death second time. And it's very hard to think about Jesus as being a joy killer, because I think that wasn't his mission, to try to feel like, don't be happy, don't enjoy all these moments. But I think he was sending a message. In the end of the chapter, chapter 9, Luke focused on the Samaritan opposition and the cause of the following Jesus. And there is some symmetry in this, in the whole chapter. You can call it dualism. We hear in this chapter is to help us to understand the conversation between Jesus and his followers, or people who are thinking maybe to be his followers in the future. It is hard to hear Jesus saying these words to people who wanted to be his followers, who wants to be part of his kingdom. Jesus was trying to ask them, do you really know what you are asking for? Do you know when you ask for the kingdom of God, that really comes first, regardless of anything else, people or things in your life? Even if you hear these words from Christ as harsh, or even some people said rude, or even some people, scholars, they said, this couldn't be possible. Jesus said these words to these people. How Jesus could not support a man who wants to care for his own family at the time of death of his father. Or the other man who asked just to go home and say goodbye, because I am on mission now, I am going to be 100% for Christ. But maybe Jesus took the hard position by telling us hard questions. Could hard question help us to see things from different perspective? If we believe it's coming from a heart that love and care for us. And every time you read this part when Jesus say, you cannot follow me because you are doing this and this, just think about your own tone. How do you like to read it? Do you like it as Jesus saying, you cannot do this and this? Or you hear it in a more, in a father, elderly, in a voice full of passion and concern about, son, think deeply. Daughter, did you thought about everything? So it's our choice to hear the tone, the same words, but the tone could be very different. And one thing I struggled with, how Jesus could not open the door wide for anybody to follow him. And as any young movements, you need a great supporters. You need a massive crowd to make your voice heard. And if Jesus was interested, was centered about the numbers of people, so I think he didn't do a good job by what he said to these people. He put walls in front of them. He made it sound very difficult to come closer to Christ. But we can hear Jesus here is telling he's not self-centered about achieving his mission, regardless of people's capacity or need or struggle or thoughts. Maybe Jesus is trying to offer to us these questions to shock us with love. So he's saving us from ourselves first, from making a quick decision that could lead us to a lot of frustration. As they say, a lot of the expectation of today could be the frustration of tomorrow. In other words, Jesus is respecting us to make a decision that could reflect our awareness of both sides, the good and the bad, the days when we are on the top of the mountain and the days when we are wandering in a desert and doesn't know where to go. When we think about the gift to go out to people and to proclaim the good news, we need to remember that we are now face to face with people's needs in every aspect. What do we do when people respond to God's message? Like in the story for the 5,000 gathering, it is wonderful to spread words, the words of the Lord, but also when people respond, what do we do? Do we just say our limitation is only to read the Bible, to explain the Bible? We cannot go there. I'm a preacher or I'm a deacon there. I cannot go outside my church. What do we do when people come that close to us? Do we dismiss them by saying we only want to share the good part, the joy and the good news, but really do not bother us by the other side of your life? The need for food, the need for, we are here and it's very hot, we are on the mountain and we have no food. I think the miracle with the 5,000 was not only of making them physically felt, but for the struggle for the disciples not to dismiss the problem, but to struggle with it and to think about people's needs. We know we are limited, but we are not limited by passion and by struggling by thoughts. When Jesus told them about how difficult to follow him, he was saving them from a false expectation or being attracted to Jesus because what he did, especially as we heard all these miracles that mentioned in chapter 9. It makes sense to me now why Jesus talked about his death twice in this chapter. It is hard to hear Jesus this way, but he was bringing the two sides of the story. You saw me, the man of authority, sending my 12 disciples, the man of superpower who can bring and do magnificent things. But also I'm the one who set my face on Jerusalem to go and die there. I believe it was a reminder that if you want to follow God, you can see how my mission is facing hardship by being hated for a crime I did not admit. That's what Jesus said. Jesus set the example by his own life when he's inviting us to be his followers. He say, be careful what you are wishing for. Be careful what you are asking for. Because the mission of God, it should be together, about the joy and the pain, about the coast and the days where we are really celebrating, harvesting God's work in our life. When Jesus chose to go with his disciples through the Samaritan village, it was a hard and dangerous choice, but it was the right. Not for everybody in Israel, not for every Jew, but it was the right decision according to Jesus' values. And that's another thing, saying if you come to my kingdom, your identity need to be changed. The way you think about people need to be different. If you come to my home, your values will be structured different. We need to know this was not only way to reach the destination. Jesus, when he went through the Samaritan village, actually, he had a choice. Most of the Jews, to avoid going through the Samaritan areas, they can go to Jordan first, and then go to Jericho, and then go to Jerusalem. And if you look in the map, this is the longest and indirect way. But the direct one is to go through Samaria. And we can see here Jesus took the strong decision to go and face the struggles. And Jesus saying, How many times we decide to use avoidance instead of facing the issue? How many times we're avoiding to go to places that maybe stirs troubles? Or maybe we could be struggled by the stereotype of thinking about other people. Jesus already showed us the way to be a true follower. If you are willing to make a hard decision, or you have to deal with unpleasant reaction, this is a call for you. If you want sometimes to go different and not like the rest of the community, in the beginning, they will not call it unique. You will be in an awkward situation. But are you willing to do that? That's what Jesus did. Jesus showed them to be free from the way they used to think about who is my enemy and how do I need to approach them and who is the most important. Even if I approached to them and they didn't accept my hand reaching out to them, how do I react? What do you believe to be? You need to be controlled by your belief and values and not by your feeling. The tradition told you, Jesus is telling the Jews, the tradition told you that the Samaritans are not your brothers and sisters. Why? Because they mingled with the Gentiles in the exile 800 years before the time of Jesus Christ. They worshiped other gods and they didn't worship our true God. They are not clean. And Jesus said, and even in your spiritual tradition, do you remember what Elijah did? Elijah, in one event, asked for a fire from heaven to kill people. But here is my message. I am not Elijah. I am greater than Elijah. I came to save and not to destroy. I came to help people to lift their heads up and not to load them with the shame and break their back with extra load. This is me. Free yourself from the old thoughts and the traditions. And even the way you grow up, you have to bury your father or you have to do specific tradition to say goodbye to your family. It's a new way. If you entered my kingdom, your identity is totally different. And today we can hear Jesus' question for us, if you want to follow me, I need to ask you that. Do you know what that means? Do you know what you are asking for? And we can hear Jesus answering his question through his life as being a true follower of God, the God of love and mercy, the God of love and mercy of everybody. Jesus is reflecting God's mission in the way he cared about the 5,000 people, the way he pushed boundaries and created a new way to relate to the Samaritan who were victims of a false reading of history. Yes, they were victims of false reading of history. And by false reading, I mean reading history and understand people's struggle from one side only, from our own interest, and not from how people do will speak about their own struggle. And in his conversation with these potential followers, disciples, maybe even will be wonderful saints in the future, he took their side by saying, son, and I imagine if even was a woman among them, he will see daughter too, protecting, I'm asking this question to protect you from yourself and from what you do not know about the future. He wants us to be aware of the privilege and the cost of to follow Jesus Christ. Because I respect your right to choose, because I respect your right to process and think deeply and not being only hijacked by the good side of what I did. And Jesus said, remember, I set my face to go to Jerusalem. And I know I'm going there not only for fun, not only to be glorified, but also to be crucified. He's saying, be willing to let go of the past. Let the dead bury the dead. And what he meant by that, we are called to care about the living people. We are not called to care about the things behind us. We are called to care about the people who are still here we can save and talk with. There comes a time when you leave the comfort of home, let go of the doorpost, and move into new waters. When Jesus means by saying, "No one who puts hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And we know that. Anybody who has plowed field knows you have to watch carefully in front of you to keep the lines straight. Look backward and you will swerve on one way or another. Jesus requires us to proclaim the kingdom of God. This is our first Christian vocation and must be our priority compared to anything else. Amen.